understanding how to change the narrative wherever we go. I'm a bit reluctant to talk about this one because this one is not very enjoyable. And the church doesn't really like talking about this part. But we'll talk about it, so let's see how it goes. Changing the narrative. That's the subtopic, changing the narrative. This topic is divided into two parts, the spiritual part and the physical part. Physical part, which involves the daily Christian living. Today we are going to talk about the part that involves daily Christian living. The spiritual part, I'm going to leave it for Pastor Ronald to talk about. Today we are going to talk about the physical part. Praise the Lord. So the word narrative, what does the word narrative mean? Narrative means a representation of a story or an event. How we represent something that's happened, something that is happening. And narrative is very important in the sense that it affects our mental, social, and even religious beliefs. How we tell a story affects our mental, social, and religious beliefs. As individuals, it affects how we behave, how we see things, how we react to things. Praise the Lord. And so it is important that if a narrative does not suit the word of God, or if it doesn't encourage the glory of God to be, you know, to be spread, it should be changed. We as Christians should be at the helm of every story. We should be the one that takes how a story is being said, how it's being told. Do we understand? We as Christians, we are the ones that should dictate how the story is being told. We shouldn't be the unbelievers or any other person. We should be the ones that will tell us, who starts the story and end it. Because the God we are serving is the beginning and the end. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, changing the narrative. Now, there are a lot of stories. There are a lot of beliefs, and so it's time for the Christians to change them. So I said we are going to talk about the physical parts, the part that involves our daily Christian lives, our day-to-day lives as Christians. And I brought out three parts. These are the three that I've seen, and for some reason in the church, this message is basically for the believers, not for the unbelievers. I've seen that in the church, it has been a bone of contention, the story. Church, the believers don't know how the story should play out. But that's what we are going to talk about today. There are three topics. Number one, the youth. And the youth also involves the teenagers. Number two, politics. And number three, holidays. And the holidays involve Valentine's Day or the Independence Day or Christmas, Easter, and things like that. Praise the Lord. So we are going to start with the youth and the teenagers. Apart from this place, every other church I've been to, they're usually complaining about youth. Oh, the youths are not serving God. The youths don't come to church. The youths are not serious. The youths are this, the youths are that. They're always complaining. You know, every time you see the youth, their eyes are on their phones. Whenever you see the youth, they have earpieces in their ear. Whenever you see the youth, they're either watching a movie or they're listening to a song. Oh, the youths are always learning one hip hop of dance and dancing. Oh, the youths are always wearing clothes they're not supposed to wear. Oh, the youths are always on social media from morning to night. They're on their phone. They're always complaining about one thing or the other. The question is, what have you done about it? You as a Christian, you've seen that youths are behaving this way. What have you done about it? You see, in the church, we have very important people. Not because somebody gave them that title. We entitled ourselves. We made ourselves very, very important. And so, after staying in the church and garnering all knowledge, we feel like we know everything, and so we should dictate how things go now. We are very intelligent. Everybody now has an opinion. In the church is where you see people with different opinions and suggestions. Everybody has an opinion as to how things should be run. Everybody has a suggestion. In fact, it is so intense that if you get to some churches, you see that they have something called the suggestion box. And every Sunday, you see people go and write, "I don't like the way this pastor, the color of tie, this pastor, what to do? Pastor should be wearing on the black color of tie." And you place it inside it. "Oh, I don't like the skirts that the pastor's wife wants today. Please, she should start wearing this skirt and place it inside." So everybody in the church has an opinion as to how the church should run, as to how things should be done. But the thing is that nobody wants to do anything about it. Nobody wants to step up and be like, "Okay, let me take the lead. Let me be the first one to start doing this." No, we're always bringing up suggestions and opinions, but nobody wants to do anything. Praise the Lord. Do we understand? Are we flowing?
Yes.
Okay. So, as for the youths, see, a few years ago when Facebook, social media, per se, came to Nigeria, all hell broke loose. Our parents were, I don't know about here, but then I was in secondary school, and the parents did not even want to hear it. Their belief was that Facebook was the Antichrist itself. That in fact, the Antichrist had come and they were ready to destroy the world. Anybody that was on Facebook, there was another one, Togo. I don't know if you guys heard about it. Anybody that was on Facebook on Togo, that person was communicating with the devil directly. They would come to church and they would talk about it. "Our youth these days, they have joined this thing called Facebook, and this is what the Antichrist will use to promote their business and whatever." And they will scream and they will preach about it. And any youth that they see that has joined this thing, you're out, you're canceled. You know, I don't know about other children, but my own parents, you dare not even think about it. Like, my mom, "If I ever see you," in fact, it was so serious that the phone they bought for me was this China phone that it could only receive text messages I sent them and make calls. So they didn't want to hear it. My mom would say, "If I ever hear." And then, you know, at the point, the teenagers in the church, because it was the in thing. And so the teenagers in the church, my friends and everything, they joined Facebook and to go and other things. And my mom found out that one of them that I was close to was on this Facebook. And she was like, "I knew Amarachi was going straight. I knew that she was going to do all this kind of thing. I don't want to see you and that girl again together." You know, the pastor will come and he will talk about it. And you talk about how his children, he goes through their homes, and none of them have this thing. And they will talk and talk and talk. And I'll go to school and I was the only person. But then I didn't think twice about it because, well, if my mom be catching, she would kill me. You know, and my friends in church and the boys, they're calling me Sister Mary because I refused to join. But they did not understand. Well, I didn't answer them. I was just ignoring them because their own mother did not flog them the way my own mother used to flog me. My mommy, when she's flogging you, the both of us will be naked. And she will lock the door. And then, you won't touch, we are naked so that I won't touch her. Because if I touch her, she will start from the beginning. And so, when she finishes, when she's done flogging me, my junior brother will be boiling hot water. I'll go and have my bath. So their own mother's never flogged them, no, my own mother's flogged me. So I never paid them any mind. I wasn't going to go through that entire thing just because I wanted to join something called Facebook. You know? And then, you know, my mom is a disciplinarian. No, she flogged, and when she's finished, when she's done flogging, she'll tell me, "You know, I'm flogging you because I love you." You know? And she flogged me so much that my neighbors one time called me and they asked me, "Why is it that your mom like flogging you?" I mean, so I parroted it because my mom loves me. But in my heart, what I was saying was, "See, if I've seen the kind of neighbor that I have, and nobody's coming to my rescue." We hear him shouting. And nobody's coming to my rescue. I just parroted it like that. Because she loves me. I just understand. And they're giving me this askance to this very weird thing. Like, what's wrong with this girl when he likes me? But anyways, that was my own reason for not joining. Not because I saw anything wrong with it. But then you see something. The devil is very wise. You know, and the church forgets this part for some reason. That the devil has power. You know, he has power and he's wise. And he likes making use of false information. He likes, tries to imitate God. Do you understand? And so he will take those false information and change people's perspective. See, the way you view things is very important. There's something in physics called, I've forgotten, there was this thing we did, light in prism or something. I don't know, science students. You try to fix needles, right, in a straight line. And so you keep a prism and you keep viewing from this side to this side to ensure that the things you kept are in a straight line. If you stand in one place, you will fail. You have to keep turning and turning. But then, you know, the Christians will just take one part and we'll grow with it, and devil will help us pushing it. And so that time during the Facebook and everything, devil knew that Christians will need about 3 to 5 years to convince themselves whether Facebook is good or not. And so that time that they were using, he worked fast. He just poured an influx of demons into social media. And so when you go on there, you find all manner of things and all manner of people working really fast. So fast that at a point, I don't know if you guys heard, but there was this girl that died. I think her name was Cynthia. Her father was, I think, a military man or something. They said talking about how she had a conversation with a man on Facebook or something, and they met each other and he killed them. I don't know if you guys heard the story. When that one came out, my dad just stamped it. If I ever see you on Facebook, anybody that is on Facebook is going to die. That was it. And truly, they were killing a lot of people at that point. They were using that thing to kill people. The devil was working really fast. And the church was still busy arguing as to whether they could use Facebook as a medium to serve God or not. And then someone someday, at one point, stood up and was like, how about we change this narrative? How about we change the story? How about if we use this social media thing to the glory of God? How about if we use it as a form of evangelism? And the church screamed, Antichrist! Like, the devil has started sending them into the church. Look at them now, they are still sending promoters into the church to now teach us about this thing. The church was furious. I don't know about your church, but this is what happened in my church, right? The church was furious, they were angry, they didn't want to talk about it. But still, somebody somewhere decided that, no, I'm not going to let it be, because the devil is working really fast. And just like that, they started using it to talk about God, doing evangelism, posting things, making videos and everything. And now, today, is there any church that does not have a Facebook account? Is there any church that does not have a WhatsApp group? Now everybody is posting on the thing that they claimed was straight from Antichrist, right? And if they had worked fast, would have been able to at least have a kind of hold on it. The enemy wouldn't have been able to like infiltrate it the way he has done now. And now they are struggling so much to keep up changing the narrative. If not for whosoever it is that decided that I'm not going to listen to these religious people. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're talking about. No, you see the youth and you're complaining. Oh, they're always looking at their phone, they're always looking at, how many of you have ever gotten a book? An interesting book, I say, hey, how are you doing? This book is for you, I'd like you to read it. Have you ever done it before? Oh, the youths are always have earphones in their ear. How many of you have ever met them and said, oh, listen, I just got this new song, I don't know if you like it. Could you please learn it so that you can teach me? Trust me, they will listen to that song for the entire week just so they can teach you. Oh, the youths are always watching movies. And what have you done about it? Have you in any way, those people that you know you like watching movies, they like watching movies. Okay, for example, the church I was attending in school, the youths there liked watching movies. It was so serious that when church is going on, all the youths would come downstairs to send movies to themselves. They thought, which movie did you download? Which movie did you download? That was how much they loved watching movies. And so it became, the church, they started complaining. The parents were always complaining, but they were obviously not going to stop it. And so one day I walked up to our youth president and I said, we usually have youth videos and they don't come. How about if we do something different? How about if you like do some sort of film show? They will show up. And he was like, no. I mean, you have 2 huge TVs in church. It's not like you're going to get a projector somewhere. All you're just doing, you're trying to get them to come. So let's just, you're not showing them Mortal Kombat or whatever. You're showing them something that has to do with God that they will learn from. There are different kinds of learners. You have 4 styles of learners. We have people that learn visually by what they see. If I don't know if you notice your kids, if they watch something, they learn it immediately. There are some is by what they hear. Once they hear mommy say stupid, they picked it up immediately. Some is by practice, you know, they will scatter your TV and fix it back. And then you know that and for some reason we decide that it's just one form of learning we have. That's why the white people are progressing this fast, because they've observed these things and they use it to teach them. I come to them and say, let's do something. We have 2 huge plasma TVs. I think they were about 52 inch or 60, I thought 70 something inch TVs. very huge in church. Let's use it to do something. And it took me forever to convince him. And so he came to church that day and he was like, youth, we are going to be having a film show on the youth video. The youth videos, they don't come. And we had a lot of youth. The church was mostly filled up with youth and they won't come. We'd be like 10 out of a church that had about 70 youths. We'd be like 10 at the youth video. And that video, we'd be about 30. And the movie he chose a Mount Zion movie. Very interesting. And it was something that was actually speaking to everybody. And for the first time, usually the 10 that will come, only 5 of us usually remains after 10 minutes. Because the other 5 will go to sleep. Because they used to come wearing their nightwear. So that they would just, and they would set their bed where they are supposed to sleep. But this particular one, everybody sat on their seats. Nobody moved to even drink water or anything. And then, after they were done, it was such an interactive. Everybody was blessed. And the next youth video, people turned out because they thought there was going to be another film show. But there was no more film show. As a matter of fact, that was the end of that. That was the end. Because I think the pastor of the church was angry. He didn't like it. And so that was the end. That we reduced back to our 10. In fact, minus 2. We are now like 8 or something. You see, these people like watching movies. And why not be like, oh, okay, you guys that like watching movies, we are going to make you part of the media team. Every week, y'all should find a Christian movie. Find a movie that youths are going to watch. I'm telling you, they're going to go on a hunt, looking for the best movies because they are trying to impress you. Have you not sorted out they're watching the movies? You've changed that story. Now, they're no more watching movies that are wrong and everything. Now, they're watching movies that will help them, inspire them, prepare them for tomorrow and everything. Because these movies actually tell a story. They teach you things. It's not like you just watch them. It's not like they just form them. No. And they're actually experiences, things people have gone through. And they teach you these things. And you say, oh, this person is always on social media. This person, I have a friend, Sarah. She wakes up and sleeps on social media. She wakes up in the morning and she's like, oh, what a wonderful morning. And she picks up her phone. Straight, Instagram, YouTube. And she will spend the entire day there. Like, the only time she keeps that phone down is when she's finished sleeping. She'll wake up by 6 a.m. and she'll press that phone till 4 a.m. And then she'll sleep. And then she told me, Odinaka, please wake me up, I have class. And then when I wake her up for the class, she'll pick up her phone and continue. And then when you meet people like that, you feel like this child, their parents have spoiled them. This person does not have any future. Like, why not change this person's story? Alright? And she said that her mom found out that she really loved social media. And she was good at what she was doing. Like, she could make money from it if she wanted. And so she said her mom noticed it and it was a problem. Her mom was complaining and complaining. I don't know who decided to tell her mommy about changing the narrative. But the mom walked up to this. She said that even in church, she's Catholic. The priest would look at them and tell her that she's going to hell. That she doesn't want to pray, that she's going to go to hell. And she would just be looking at him like, what is this one talking about? So when she came to school, she refused to go to church because to her, everybody's sending her to hell. And so her mom noticed this thing. Her mom went to the media team in church. And she said, my daughter Sarah is very good at this media thing. She's very good at social media. Just make her in charge. And their social media just flourished, just went on a boom, just like that. And if she's on her phone, she's like, Sarah, what are you doing? Oh, church has this program. I have to promote it. Please, is that not changing the narrative? Is she not interested in God's work now? And then some will come and they will say, oh, this youth, they're always learning worldly dance. Please invent a dance and see if they won't learn it. But you've not invented any dance and you're complaining about the one they're learning and they're coming to dance in church. Invent something. Whatever it is, invent it, they will learn it. There are some youth teenagers that love dancing. People like my junior brother. He likes dancing. He's always discovering me. Oh, like I see this one I just learned. Oh, like I see this one I just learned. Invent something. I'll come to church and be like, I just invented this dance. And they will learn it. And they will dance. And you've changed that entire story. But no, the church likes complaining. You will complain, you'd see parents, they will gather in a group and they will start bringing out the faults of their own children. Oh, my child can stay all night pressing her phone. Oh, my child. So what have you done about it? How have you helped that child become better? And you know, it's not to come and be screaming and shouting because you're wasting your time. You see, you're supposed to do it with a sprinkle of love. But we don't even want to sprinkle. We don't even want to sprinkle, not even talk of giving buckets of love. Just add something on it and the child will be interested. They will come and they'll sit down and everybody's doing competition, talking about which child does more awful things. Praise the Lord. I know it's not very sweet and everything, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And we keep complaining about things like this. And the devil, being as wise as he is, he keeps looking for ways to engage them. Since you don't want to give them the right movies to watch, you give them movies to watch. You don't want to give them the right songs to listen to, you give them songs to listen to. You don't want to give them the right social media, you will give it to them. He knows how to walk very fast because he does not have time. Jesus is coming very soon. And he wants to grab the people that God wants to use. Bible says that in the last days that the young men shall do what? In the last days, the young men shall do what? And you guys don't know it. I don't know where anybody studying. The young men shall do what? And he doesn't want them to see vision, so he's keeping them preoccupied. That's because the church is still spending time doing what? Complaining. Number two, politics. The church has been an argument for some reason up till now whether Christians should be involved in politics or not. And I don't understand this argument. Why this is an argument, I don't know. And the devil is happy that the church is making these arguments. Why he's pouring his own people into that place. The children of God are the ones that are supposed to rule. The children of God are busy arguing whether we should be involved in politics or not. So the devil is happy. And that's why we come to church. And the prayer point you are praying is that my blood will not be used for election, whatever. And children of God, are we supposed to be praying this kind of prayer if we have the right person here? No. But because we don't have the right person there, that's why that is actually a prayer point. That should not even be a prayer point if you have Christians there. And maybe you think it's not true. But let's open to the book of Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, verse 2.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked parent rule, the people mourn.
Praise the Lord. Did you guys hear it? I think we should read it together. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. Everybody, want to go?
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn.
Am I the one that said it? Who said it? God. And so people are still arguing. And then when a Christian finally steps up, you know, to actually go into politics, the church turns against the person. Oh, this person, the pastor, they're going to. You hear people say things like, politics is a dirty game. That's a very false statement. You know, the game is actually very interesting. It's very, very interesting. If not, people would study political science in school. The problem is that the people playing the game are the ones that are dishonest and dirty. If the right people were playing the game, I think it would be very interesting and it would be right. But because we have the wrong people here, that's why you see Christians are the ones that know how to complain about those in government. We have opinions as to how this country should be run, but nobody wants to step up. Nobody wants to step up and do the right thing. Everybody will come and you see them gather. When you enter public transport, that is the order of the day. Oh, our president, Boss Pupu, he's doing this, he's doing that, and whatever. And finally, they start talking about the vice president and how he's a pastor. Even as a pastor, he's doing this and he's doing that. You can imagine. And they'll start talking about how, it was Daddy Adeboye that endorsed him. That's how these church people do. You can imagine. And that's not how we're supposed to be. That's why we have people that are using the blood of God's own children to get into office, because the right people do not want to step up. And then when the right people actually step up, they're meant for the job. The church uses their own two hands to tear them down. And if you say, okay, I'm not meant to be a politician, I'm not called to be a politician or whatever, we have our own things to do. When our president was still campaigning, before he became the president, he had a slogan, change begins with you. I don't know if you guys remember. That was the slogan. Change begins with you. And he was everywhere, and it made a lot of sense. Change begins with every one of us. We are the ones that should dictate how this story is told. But then, even the ones we are supposed to do as citizens, we don't do them. On Thursdays are supposed to be environmental days, right? And then you see Christians, they will sit down at home. when they know they're supposed to go to their places of business to clean it up, because that's what that day is meant for. They'll be like, please let me rest, and they'll sit down at home. And where you work, where you stay, your place of business is disgusting and dirty. And you see people that own legitimate businesses and companies, Christians, they don't want to pay their taxes. And they'll tell you that, the government is using the tax, they are stealing our money, so I'm not going to pay. And then, it didn't start from now, because the Pharisees and who, they went to meet Jesus and to ask him about paying tax. And he was like, I'm paraphrasing, he was like, you guys, that's your business. You better give Caesar what it is and give unto God what it is. But today, when you tell Christians, how many legit business owners here pay their taxes? Let's be sincere. You know you pay your tax. Let's be sincere. But you know that is a civil right. That is something that you are supposed to do. And as a Christian, you're shouting, heavenly race, I no go tire, I'm heavenly bound. You are lying. You're going straight to hell. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And then you have the guts to shout that our government is corrupt. You're not keeping your environment clean when you're supposed to do that. You're not praying for those in authority. Instead, you're looking for ways to tear them down. Praise the Lord. And then, we for some reason, Nigerians do this thing very, very, it's a virus. That's what I'm going to call it. You see somebody will finish eating something. That if they don't find a trash can, they could easily just put in their bag or their pocket so when they get home, they can throw it away. And what would they do? They throw it on the floor. Pastor talks about how some people are walking on the road and you're eating and whatever. And let's just say that maybe you were very famished, you were really, really hungry and you couldn't help yourself. And then you finish eating gala or finish, and you see the way they will throw it, forming short boots. They will throw it and they'll be like, he entered that place. You can imagine. And later we'll say, you're not going to heaven because God is counting it. Those things that you think are little, God is seeing them. He's writing them down for you. And you open your mouth and you say, our government is corrupt. Corruption started with you. Because you refuse to change the story. We are all government. We all are government. And then when it's time to vote, you see a Christian open their mouth to say, what am I going there to do? Maybe when they finish, they will still read it. What kind of foolish statement is that? That is your civil right. Your civil right is to go there and vote. That is a duty that you should do. And they'll say, I don't have voter's card. What are you talking about? When I tried to get my voter's card, they were doing all manner of things. What do you mean? If they say that if you don't get it, when it was time to do NIN, and they said if you don't have your NIN, you'll not be able to get your money in the bank. Did you or did you not get your NIN? Did you or did you not get your NIN? Who here doesn't have their NIN? Everybody was running. By 4 a.m., you'd see people queuing up to get their NIN. But time to get your voter's card so that you can do your civic duty. You'd sit down at home and see, when they're done, you get their student way to read it. You will go to hellfire because you're not doing what is right. That is the law. You're not keeping the rules and regulations. And then how do you expect to change the course of our country when we are not even putting the right people there? Fine, you don't want Christians to go there. Okay, go and vote for the right person. You see that at home on that day and say they are going to send dogs to come and kill us. And later you say you are a spirit, you are lying, you are in flesh. Praise the Lord. Number 3, our holidays. I don't understand. You go to church and you see people arguing. Should children of God celebrate Valentine's Day? Should children of God celebrate Christmas Day? Why is that important? The point is, on that day, if you go out on the street, you will see a lot of people. And so what should you do that day? This wonderful evangelism. And people will stand here arguing and they're talking about it. And I'm like, why not change the story of this day? As for me, I don't know about you guys, but as for me, what is in my head now? That on Valentine's Day, Christ Embassy goes out for this mass evangelism. May they share a lot of their devotionals. I don't know if you've seen them. They'll go out there with their best clothes, singing and dancing. That's what I know what Valentine's Day is for. But then Christians are still in church arguing whether children of God should celebrate Valentine's Day. And devil is happy. He's like, you guys continue. Continue, please, and he will go there, send his own demons and agents to come and do evangelism on his behalf. Meanwhile, the church is sitting down. And I just thank God for Christ Embassy because they are doing so well. On all these holidays, you see them, they will dress up and they will come out and they will do this wonderful evangelism. It's just almost impossible for you to be walking on the road on Valentine's Day or Independence Day or Christmas Day and you won't find somebody holding a Christ Embassy devotional. That's how serious they take it. Sending millions of copies and it's free. And you see other people sit down in their house, see, looking at that girl that they just saw dress up, like, not so, not them, that's how they ruin their lives. Meanwhile, you could have just walked out and be like, hey, my sister, are you going for Valentine? Hey, come, let me tell you about somebody that can do sweet, free Valentine. You've sat down in your house and you've condemned that person to hell. You yourself that you're not going to save that person from thinking that them is taking you're going to hellfire because you do not do what is right. Like I said, this message is not for unbelievers, it is for the Christians. Because the only thing we know how to do is sit down in church, garner knowledge, and complain. And so you see the Christ Embassy on Independence Day. Independence Day, Nigerians sit in their house and complain. Why are we even celebrating independence when our government is useless? Meanwhile, somebody is out there using that, they are telling you, going to tell others, oh, there is somebody that can make you independent of all this nonsense that is going on. The economy of the world does not have to be your economy. My economy is a heavenly economy. So come, let me tell you about that. Come, let me tell you about the person that can make you rich. Come, let me tell you about the person that will make you love. No, sit down at home. Arguing and debating whether we should celebrate these holidays. May the good Lord have mercy upon us. Because we really are just shaming him with these unnecessary things and unnecessary complaints. We only know how to bring up suggestions in church and place them in the suggestion box. Nobody's doing what they're supposed to do. Jesus Christ changed the narrative. Maybe you think I just came up with this thing. You know, many times when things were just going wrong, many times when the world was just, it was just going into a spiral, like we were all falling into this endless tunnel, this dark endless tunnel. Instead of staying in heaven and complaining and saying, oh, these people are, they keep committing sin and doing all manner of things. What did he do? He himself, God himself came down to change the story, died for us so that they would have life, would have breath, so that the breath we deep, the air we breathe would be free and it would be cleansing. He didn't stay in heaven complaining, bringing up suggestions. Oh, Gabriel, how about if you go? Oh, Michael, what do you think? Do you think you'll go? No. He said, my blood is going to be, my blood is going to be better. And he himself came down and took upon himself all our sins and all our death and everything and placed it on himself and died for us so that we can be free today. So that we can be able to actually tell a story. And we have refused to tell the story. We have allowed the devil to start telling the story. And he's weaving tales and he's brainwashing the minds of people. I told you that the narrative, the way a story is told, determines how people think. If today they should just release a statement, the president should just come and say, I'm declaring a state of lockdown because we just found out that there is a virus. That if you stand within 10 feet of the person, you will contact it and you will die within seconds. Everybody, even those of us that are saying that we are spirits, you would run home. If they say that the person is already in Amara, in fact, that they were not able to control, that all the people from the airports has died, and the person is already at Abara, everybody will run to their house. That is what a narrative, a story can do to your mindset. It controls how you behave, how you react to things, your beliefs, how you know, how your relationships with people. Jeremy Johnson said something. He said, I would love to meet people in heaven who got there because I invested. I would love to go to heaven, even people I didn't meet face to face. But who got here because I did something. I changed the story. I changed the meaning behind something. I decided to take this thing that supposedly means something bad and turn it to be something that will glorify God. When I go to, wouldn't you be excited to go to heaven and somebody walks up to you and says, excuse me, sir, it was watching one of your videos where you said something like this. It changed my life. Wouldn't you be excited about something like that? Instead of staying in your church and in your house, complaining and complaining. Please let us stop and do what we are supposed to do as Christians. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.